Well, this evening we're going to be looking briefly at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 to 19, found on page 669 of your pew Bibles. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 8 through verse 19, hear again the word of the Lord. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. And we shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, and we will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Well, the book of Proverbs is a book of practical wisdom. And King Solomon is setting out in our study here important instruction, practical instruction for us. And yet I'm sure each one of us can think back to a time when we were kids and our tendency wasn't like that being commended to us this evening. I can remember even before my kids were born, thinking that I knew far more than my parents, and how I would never raise my children after the fashion that my parents had raised me. But it didn't take long after the kids came on the scene to begin to see and better appreciate the wisdom of my parents, the means that they utilized in order to get my attention and begin to adjust and redirect my will in a fashion that would not be self-endangering or endangering to others, but rather would be pleasing to God. It isn't our typical response as we begin to move toward adulthood, when we want to express ourselves, utilize those wills that we've been sharpening, and begin to make our own decisions. And yet we see within the passage we're studying this evening the loving care of parents for their child. And even more importantly, we see the loving care of God as it is administered to us, his children, through the instruction that we see. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Sometimes if we are young men growing up, we have a tendency to think that I only really need to listen to that one who is mightier than myself. And so because we know that dad tends to have more power in the spanking hand than mom, we tend to listen a little bit more closely to dad than we do to mom. But we see here within this passage that the instruction of both parents is put before the child as both a blessing and essential for their good to listen to father as well as mother. We also see here that he describes what it is that tends to be at play in our willfulness, in our disobedience, in our ignoring the counsel of those parents which God has given to us, especially those parents who would know and love Christ. He says here, their gems, their little treasures of wisdom that they are bestowing upon you are beautiful and worthy adornments for our lives. You see, it's often the adornments of the world that are working against the instructions of our parents. It is our desire after the things of the world, the fleshly desires, the riches that this world has to offer, or the power that we aspire to ourselves that leads us to disobey the instructions that are so tenderly given. But here God says, take your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching, for they are like a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. The benefits of the instruction which God is pleased to give to us through our parents, who are themselves acting in accord with the instruction of God's word, will so shape and mold our lives as to be identifiable to the world. And we see this, don't we, when we have the opportunity to be amongst lots of different families, and how easy it is to identify those families where the structure of the home as God has given it are on display, where there seems to be peace amongst the members of the family. A respect for authority as that which is given by God versus the chaos that is so rampant in so many godless families today, where there is disunity and quarreling, chaos that define them. And here God is saying that those godly instructions that are given by our parents are like that garland that's given to the victor, that great prize, and we are to view them as prizes that have been lavished upon us, or that pendant, that adornment that marks us and sets us apart as something different, as someone who's been given something very precious. And so we see here the loving care of God as he begins this instruction, trying to impress upon us the blessing of this instruction, that we would not be like the rebellious child, giving a deaf ear to the word of God that he so lovingly is giving to us for our good. And so that we'll be prepared now as he would begin to educate us as to the ways of the world, the enticements of sinners, that we ourselves would not fall prey to their ways. And so we see the care and concern of a father for his child in verse 10 when he says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. This is loving guidance by our earthly fathers. This is extremely loving guidance from our heavenly Father, that we would not fall prey to the enticements of the world. As I was thinking about this, I got to thinking about how you and I, as God's people, as followers of Christ, are called to be evangelists, aren't we? We're called to be ambassadors of Christ, speaking about that one whom we love. Glenn's going to have an opportunity in the coming week to be about that task of sharing the glorious gospel of Christ, that others might come to know that one whom he loves. But at the same time that God has given us that duty to be evangelists, I think it's important for us to realize that the rest of the world also works as evangelists. Not for Christ, but for our enemy. You've heard the saying that misery loves company. And that's a good warning for us to be reminded of even here, as we see that these sinners who will now begin to work upon the young, whether that is young in spirit or whether that is young in body, they're trying to evangelize, aren't they? They are trying to persuade. They're trying to lead people away from God in the same fashion that they have been led astray by the evil one. Again, this is an important way for us to be reminded that there are no neutral people within the world. They are enslaved in one of two ways. They are either enslaved to sin in their original condition of sin and misery under the instruction of a cruel master, that is Satan, or they have been freed by the glorious gospel and the grace of Christ and are now enslaved to righteousness. And so here is the Father. Here are godly parents giving instruction to their children in the hope of God's covenant promises that their children will grow up both knowing Christ and obeying Christ and serving Christ willingly rather than being a casualty to those who are at war against the things of God. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And then we see that this father seeks to demonstrate to his child, to his son, that he's aware of the ways in which the world operates. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. Here we see the confidence of these who are dead in their transgressions, those who are so consumed with their earthly pursuits and their fleshly desires and the darkness of their minds. They don't even try to sugarcoat their aims. Out of the gate, demonstrating their self-confidence in their evil pursuits, even say, listen, you can come along with us. You'll be part of our gang. You'll be part of the group. And there's safety in numbers. There's no danger. We can, with impunity, come and go as we like. Take life wherever we see fit. You can be powerful like us. All you have to do is come along. The father says, I've heard this. I know this to be true. This is the way of the world. When they come to you and when they begin to whisper these ideas into your ear, remember, this is their philosophy. This is their reasoning. It doesn't change. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. This is a part of that nothing new. We tend to pride ourselves as being much more sophisticated now than, you know, people were 2,000 years ago. But the reality is the arguments haven't changed, and the pursuits of the willful heart of man is no different. They use the same arguments. They hardly even have to rewrap them. They're so old and overused. But it's because they are so old and overused, and the fact that they are a danger that should be so alarming to us. It should reiterate to us our weakness, our susceptibility when we begin to stray from the Word of God. And it should be the thing that continually brings us back to the Word and brings us back to God's throne of grace in prayer, that we would not fall prey to these earthly enticements. What else do we learn about their enticements? We see that greed is often at the heart of it. It's the opportunity to get something that we haven't earned, that we haven't worked for something to come simply and easily to us that is not ours. We shall find all precious goods. Doesn't that sound wonderful? When I was growing up, one of the things that we used to often watch on, I think, Saturday afternoons were The Little Rascals. And it brings a smile to our face when we think about The Little Rascals. But there was a lot within The Little Rascals that really probably didn't deserve our smiles. Whether it was Spanky trying to figure out some way that he could steal an extra piece of candy from the local dime store, or some other way of avoiding the penalty for their disobedience. We see that those things don't change. That was 60, 70 years ago, and yet those same things can be alluring to us today. Maybe it's the allure of getting something we didn't work for, like a better grade that causes us to want to look off the paper of the student that's sitting next to us. Maybe it's the route that we'll take vying for a new position, that we would claim the work of others for ourselves, that we might look better in our employer's eye and be thought of more highly for that next advancement. Maybe it's just that matter of our income that we don't report, that we can further enrich ourselves and not give to Caesar what is Caesar's. You see, the instruction that's given here isn't aimed only at our children. The instruction that's given here is aimed at all of God's children, because these same temptations confront us on a day-by-day basis, no matter whether we're 6, 60, or 120. And these instructions that God has lovingly given are just as valuable to us at any age of life. We see set forth in verses 11 through 14 those crazy and foolish efforts of sinners, seeking to capitalize on one's desire, seeking to feed upon those who are desirous of company, wanting to fit in, wanting to be a part of the in crowd, wanting to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And often that can lead us into great trouble in life. We see the false confidence, those who feign being untouchable, and who hold out the promise of riches without the work. Maybe we even see the beginnings of socialist thought here. The idea of no matter what I do, and whether or not I do anything, I'll be taken care of, for we'll all have a common purse. You see, all of these things can play on the sinful desires of our hearts. Well, after he has described what will be the likely attack of the sinner, we see that then this loving Father, our Heavenly Father, explains their ways even more bluntly to his Son. My Son, verse 15, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. The Father understands where it is that their efforts, their sinful ways will lead them. It will be to destruction. And he goes on to describe the folly of sinners in an even more vivid fashion when he says, "For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird." Here we see that this loving Father is saying, listen, these folks are so foolish that if you were to compare these foolish sinners Birds have more common sense. Last week we looked at Balaam's donkey and we saw that Balaam's donkey had more insight and more sense than Balaam, didn't he? To avoid the danger that lie ahead. Well, here he says, even the birds that God has created, if a man throws out a net in advance of a bird will not land upon it. The bird is wise enough to see the trap for what it is and to avoid it. And again, this is humbling to us, isn't it, when we know our propensity for sin, to think that in our sinfulness, we are more foolish than even the most base creatures. Maybe this is where we get that term bird-brained. Well, we are bird-brained. Such is the folly of sin. For we understand that sin's satisfaction is not lasting, it is fleeting. And all that is promised to us in this life fades away, it rots, it is destroyed, it is stolen, it is nothing that we can hold fast to with any assurance. But God would have us know that the things of God are lasting. And the promises of God are true. And that reward which is ours through Christ in heaven is sure. It will not pass away. And we need that reminder. We need that reminder not only when we are being tempted, but when we are facing trials. We need that when our life doesn't take that easy path that we had laid out for ourselves, so that we don't despair, so that we don't allow worry and anxiety and nerves to overrun us, so that we don't fall back upon our own strength, our own wisdom, our own power, or the counsel of men rather than the counsel of God. He says, these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. We see the ultimate end of all of these foolish sinners seeking to evangelize, seeking to lead astray, ultimately leads to their destruction. And brothers and sisters, those who are perishing want nothing more than for you to accompany them. They want nothing more than for others to join them in their misery, in their condemnation, and in that punishment that will be forevermore. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Children, our passage is a reminder to you that God would have you heed the instruction that is lovingly given by your God-fearing parents. Don't forget it. Don't discard it. You may not understand it fully now. Pray that God will give you the understanding to both understand and appreciate it later when it's your turn to give instruction. Sons and daughters of God, His Word speaks to you today as well. Be alert to those fools who may cross your path and who may seek to entice you away from that command of God, promising you things today. Remember, those things will fade away and will pass. They will not last. But God's word endures forever. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, we thank You that You care so much for Your people as our Heavenly Father, that You do not hold back instruction nor discipline from those whom You love. And Lord, you have reminded us in your word that no discipline is pleasant at the time, but it does bring about a great, fruitful harvest. And so, Lord, we pray that we would not fall prey to the connivances and enticements of sinners. Lord, that we would not so value the things of this life that we would forsake the loving instruction that you have given and preserved for us in your word. And Lord, may we so treasure your word that it would be for us as glorious adornments, a testimony of lives that are transformed by Christ, such that the world would take note and they would see that the victory that is ours in Christ, he has worked out, and is not from our wisdom or nor our strength nor our cunning. And Lord, the riches that we possess, those riches of righteousness and holiness, those robes that now are pure white because of his righteousness imputed to us, Lord, may those be more precious to us than any amount of coin we could earn in this life, or the riches that this life may bring, or the positions of power that could be ours for a time in this life, which pale in comparison to that position you have promised to all who love and obey your word, who will stand at your feet crowned with that crown of righteousness. Lord, give us right priorities. Guide us each day of our life. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your commands, even, Lord, that command to honor our father and our mother, that all might go well. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 118C.